You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in. My name is Mark King, host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I also cover the Grizzlies at grizzlybearblues.com as the assistant editor. You can see all my work over there at grizzlybearblues.com. You can follow me on Twitter at King_producer. So make sure you go follow, interact, ask questions. Another great show for you today. First segment of the show today, we're going to take a look at some free agents the Grizzlies may want to take a look at for their offensive woes. Some guys that are still out there lurking that could probably maybe make a difference for this team. In the second segment of the show, we're going to do an interesting brand new segment. Happens every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, same time, going to be doing a rankings update. I know that sounds kind of weird. It's not a rankings like how good they are versus other teams. It's a rankings update of the actual stats rankings throughout the league. So what do they rank in rebounds, assist, offensive rating, defensive rating? This will give us a very clear picture of what the Grizzlies are doing through up to that point in the season. So every week we'll track that on Wednesday to see how they, if they have improved, if they've gone down. That'll happen every Wednesday in the middle segment of the show. In the last segment, we're going to talk with Andrew Goodman of BrewHoop.com. He's a writer over there, covers the Milwaukee Bucks for BrewHoop.com. We'll talk with him, get some insight on the Milwaukee Bucks that the Grizzlies are playing tonight, Wednesday, and see what he has to say about that team and how the Grizzlies can possibly beat a team that is very good. The Milwaukee Bucks are a team that they're top five in about just about every category you can think of. They're top five in offense and defense. So it will be an interesting matchup to see. So we'll talk with Andrew, see if we can figure out what we can expect from the Bucks tonight. But first, let's take a look at some let's take a look at some free agents, some guys that are all old because they're still, you know, these are guys that are fringe. You know, these are just, it's really just for, you know, for having fun. I don't think the Grizzlies are going to go out and sign any of these guys, much less bring anybody in for workouts. That would surprise me at this point. I think they're going to ride out what they have, the Dylan Brooks injury. Give Wayne Selden and Marshawn Brooks a chance. Hopefully Omri Caspi comes back soon, and then he is able to give you some more offense than you already have. But it's always fun to talk about free agents and if they might sign them or might not. But first, let's talk about Nick Young. Swaggy P, still out there. Actually had a conversation about this in the Grizzly Bear Blues Slack channel about Swaggy P, and some people hate it and some people love it. You know, Swaggy P is someone that shoots 38% from three from his career. I know people are saying it's probably just Marshawn Brooks made over, but Marshawn Brooks really doesn't score the ball. So I think you probably have more effective offense than Marshawn. I don't think if you did bring someone, if you did bring another free agent in, I don't even think it matters. I think Marshawn still gets minutes. But right now, like I said, they played eight guys the other night, so they need bodies that are able to play in the NBA. So, you know, Nick Young, not a great defender, but, you know, none of the options really you have are now great defenders. Shevin Mack's not a great defender. Wayne Selden's not a great defender. You know, but you have the defense. You have, you know, it's a team that is a really good defensive team. We've seen that. We've seen the hold teams to under 100 a lot this year. But that's really not what you need help with. You need offense. Someone else that might be able to help is Joe Johnson. This is not one I would recommend. And I'll tell you who I want in the end and kind of order of who we're talking about. These are just names that I looked up and saw out there still available. Joe Johnson, wouldn't recommend it. I think he's more Carmelo type, and I'm not a big fan of Carmelo. But he played in Houston last year. He is 37. I think Nick Young's 33, if that matters. I'm not even sure he can still play, but if he can stand still in the corner and shoot threes, you know, well, they're in offense. So you need people that can shoot threes. The Grizzlies are not a great three-pointing shooting team, even though on paper they should be. Joe Johnson shoots a career 37% from three. So, you know, I don't think that's probably a good option, but I think it's an option. Another free agent is Corey Brewer. Corey Brewer, not a great three-point shooter. That's going to give you a different type of offense, slashing, cutting to the basket. But what he will do is he won't turn the ball over. He'll keep the offense rolling with Mark and Mike out there. Mark and Mike out on the bench. Someone who is more of a I don't want to use Tony Allen as a reference, but that's who the Grizzlies Grizzlies fans would probably try to compare him to, but doesn't take a lot of 3-point shots. That's not where his offense comes from, but is a good defender. Probably not a good defender anymore. I don't think any of these guys are good defenders at this point in their careers, but he would give you a different type of offense than you would get from the other players listed that I have listed here. Last player, Aaron Aflalo. This is probably my favorite choice if I had to choose one of these guys. Played in Orlando last year, shoots a career 39% from three. It's 33. Just a veteran basketball player, smart basketball player, low turnover guy. You know, he's not a great defender anymore, as I've said with literally every one of these players, but you know, it's a different type of player. You know, Aaron Aflalo is a dead eye shooter. He can really shoot over people really well with people in his face. That's not an issue for him. He's really good on the post. I think he was shooting like 62% in post-ups or something like that. I looked up. I mean, he's really, you know, someone that I think could actually help you. Of all the players listed here, as we're just having a little fun looking at free agents that could possibly be out there, I think this is a person that could actually help. He will be my first pick. I honestly think Nick Young would probably be my second, and then Corey Brewer would be my third, and then Joe Johnson would be last if I had to rank them. But I decided to have a little fun in the first segment of the show and just take a look and see who is out there. Since we talked about yesterday, the Grizzlies' woes on offense, and we'll talk about that more in the next segment when we go to our rankings update. But of all the guys I would choose, it would be Aaron Aflalo. Now, do they do anything? I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. They're probably going to be in a position where they continue to, continue to hold serve and hopefully there are other guys that can step up. And we talked about that yesterday at length about Marshawn Brooks and Wentz. I don't know what they can do. So we'll see if they can do that. We'll see if they even bring anybody workouts. Again, I'd be highly surprised if they did that. But you never really know what they're thinking. But they do need offense. They need offense right away. Now, if the next few games don't work out and it just keeps getting worse for them, maybe that changes their mind. Maybe you do have an extra roster spot. Maybe you go and you bring working guys in to work out and see what they have. So we'll see how they'll probably also gauge how the next week and a half goes, especially after Omri Caspi comes back, and see what he can give you over the next few weeks while Dylan Brooks is out. But if your company is interested in men between ages of 14 and 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Grizzlies is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men to listen to your ad 18 to 44, this is the spot for you. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me, mark@lockedongrizz@gmail.com to find out how. Coming up next in the next segment, stay tuned. After the break, we're going to do our rankings update, where the Grizzlies stack up against all the other teams in different categories throughout the league. Coming up before the end of the show, we'll talk to Andrew Goodman, writer at BrewHoops.com. Make sure you stay tuned for that. It's a really good conversation that Andrew and I had about the Bucks and what we can expect from that team when the Grizzlies play them tonight. Again, Andrew Goodman coming up in the next segment of this show. Follow him on Twitter @Andrew_Goodman3. But first, let's do our rankings update. This is going to be a segment we do every Wednesday. Take a look and see how the Grizzlies stack up in different categories against other teams in the league. So let's just start off. Points per game, 101.8. That's good for 29th of 30. So the Grizzlies have not scored a lot of points this year in each game. So we've talked about that. Offense is not great. I'm going to go through the stats first of all. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to go through the stats. We're going to talk about each one a little bit, and then we're going to talk about how does this affect the team overall, and what are these stats? What can we learn from them? So opponents' points per game, 100.7. That's good for 1 of 30. So they're first in holding points holding an opponents to under 100 points per game. Pace is 94.8. That's 30 of 30. If you don't know what pace is, it's how fast they play. Basically, the Grizzlies play a very slow pace. They're a very half court oriented offense right now. Offensive rating, that's 106.4. That's 21 of 30. That's not bad, not great. The offensive rating, again, if you don't know what that is, that's just the rating they're assigned to the offense. I'll explain a little bit more at this. Defensive rating 105.2. That's 430. That's good. That's great. That goes on to what our eyeballs are seeing. They have a great defense and at times can be a good offense. Rebounds per game 38.3. That's dead last in the NBA. I think we knew that going into the season that they had problems with rebounding, and that just the numbers kind of bear that out. Assist per game, 22.4 is the number, and that's 20 of 30. So that's a little less than average. You know, they're ranked 20th of the 30 in assists per game. You know, not great. It's not last, but it's not great. Blocks is 4.3 per game. That's good for 26th in the NBA. I honestly thought this stat would be higher. I thought the Grizzlies would rank higher here than any other stat. I thought this would be higher. It's not something I'd looked up before, so that was kind of surprising to me, considering that Jaren has a lot per games. I thought that was a bit lower than I expected. Anyway, I thought the stat would be higher. I thought they would rank higher than that, but that's somewhat surprising. Steals per game, 9.8 per game. That's good for second in the NBA. So again, it goes along right with the defensive mentality of this team. Field goal percentage is 44.4. That's 22nd of 30. Again, not great, not last, but not great. Three-pointers made this season so far. That's 116 they've made this season. That's 28 of 30, so not great, almost dead last. And three-point percentage is 35.7. So their percentage of the three-pointers they made, that's good for 14th in the NBA. That's 14 of 30. So those are the stats we're kind of going to look at. I think that gives us a very, very good picture of what they're doing on offense, defense, how they stack up in their, how quick they play, what they do. So what do these mean for the Grizzlies right now? It means exactly what we've been talking about. Their offense is not great. They're only scoring 100 points per, 101 points per game, which is almost dead last. On the flip side of that, they're holding teams 100. It's 100 points per game. So their offensive rating is 21. It's not bad. You really want to see that more along the lines of 14 or 15. Like if you're going to have a top five defense in the NBA, which is what they have right now, you really need your offense to be more along the lines of 14 or 15. You know, somewhere in the top half of the NBA, if you want to be a playoff team, if you want to make it in the playoffs, and if you want to be a playoff team and make it to the playoffs and make it to the playoffs and do some damage in the playoffs, then you have to have a better offense. So I think that numbers really bear that out. The only thing that really stood out to me and surprised me, like I said before, was the blocks. I thought there would be more than that. But that's where they stand right now. And again, we'll check in on all these stats coming up next week. We'll check in on that. We'll see what they compare to. So next Wednesday, every Wednesday, rankings updates, middle of the show. We'll see how the Grizzlies stack up next week. If they've moved at all, I'll keep these numbers for next week so we can tell what's gone up, what's gone down, if they've gotten better or some things, if they've gotten worse. And that'll give us a better picture statistically how they are throughout the season. Coming up next in the next segment, we're going to talk to Andrew Goodman, writer at brewhoops.com. You can find all of his stuff on brewhoop.com. Again, follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Goodman. That conversation is coming up after the break. Welcome back to the show. I just want to say thank you so much to Andrew for taking the time out to join me for this show. Again, Andrew Goodman of brewhoop.com. We had a conversation about the Grizzlies-Milwaukee game that's coming up tonight. It's a great conversation. Let's listen to that now, and you can have a better idea of what we can expect from this Bucks team. Andrew, thanks for joining me. I just want to say I appreciate you taking the time out and doing the podcast with me to talk about this Grizzlies-Bucks matchup. For those of you who don't know, Andrew Goodman of brewhoop.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Goodman3. How's it going, man?
Good. Hey, really, I should be thanking you for reaching out to do a little preview of this game tomorrow. That should be a really good one. I really like what the Grizzlies have done. They're an up-and-coming team for sure.
Yeah, the Grizzlies, they took a tough loss to the Jazz, and now on the road to the Bucks, at home for the with the Bucks. First of all, I have to ask you, how in the hell did Brook Lopez become like an amazing 3-point shooter all of a sudden? Like I saw a video of him just draining one from like looks like the basically like the sponsor area there just like a few nights ago. What has happened?
I know, it's really insane how he's transformed into, prolific post scorer to an all of a sudden, face guardable 3-point threat. But I'll tell you one thing, I want whatever this guy is having for breakfast. I mean, geez, it's ridiculous. I mean, if you look, he shot 34.5% from deep last season, which is pretty respectable. But now he's emerged, like I said, as a person you have to face guard from three. He's shooting 41.9% on that's 7 tries per game from deep, which is a lot. And what I think he's really comfortable on the perimeter, and I think Mike Budenholzer has played a big part in that, because in the Bucks practice they tape blue squares in the two corners and on the two wings, and those four hot spots are where each player has their own responsibility. Each position player has their own responsibility on where they should be above the break and in the corner for threes. So when Brook Lopez is getting the ball, he's getting the ball on the perimeter in spots where he's really comfortable, and I think that's helped elevate his game a lot.
Yeah, like you mentioned, I mean that 41% is no joke. It's seven attempts per game. I mean it really is amazing what he's done for to elevate his that part of his game. Speaking of the Bucks offense, is this offense still going to run through Giannis every time down the floor, or is there a different playmaker on the floor for the Bucks this year?
You know what? Giannis Antetokounmpo is obviously the focal point, and the offense will run through him. But one thing that makes the Bucks really hard to guard is that there's going to be times where Giannis, on a few consecutive offensive possessions, where he's not getting the ball or he doesn't have the ball as much in his hands, whereas it'll be with Chris Middleton, Brogdon, or Eric Bledsoe. So the Bucks have luxury of running offense through those three guys, so Giannis doesn't have to do too much. But what I really like about Mike Budenholzer and what he's done and what makes this Bucks team so different than last year is that rather than giving the ball to Giannis and having them make a play, is that you'll see each game you go through the shot chart, the field goal attempts up and down the roster will be really, really spread out, and that makes the Bucks really difficult to guard. Whereas, last year, like I said, under Jason Kidd, it was basically give the ball to Giannis and, have him drive and make a play out of nothing, which he's really good at doing, but at the same time, he can only get so far doing that.
Yeah, speaking of Giannis, I know this is a not so that I wanted to, but I just want to touch on this just a minute. What makes Giannis so special as a player?
Just his ability, like I said, to create something from nothing. He'll need one, maybe two dribbles to get from half court to the basket. So when you combine that length with someone who can now put the ball on the floor and get to the basket and get foul calls, it just makes him almost impossible to guard. And it's very cliche, he doesn't have a jumper and all that. His jumper's really struggling and whatnot. But at this point, do we need to say he needs a jumper to be successful? He's averaging, what, at least 22, 24 points without a jumper. So, I mean, at this point, just his ability to get to the basket is so elite, is what makes him so special.
Yeah, that like you mentioned, he is averaging 23 and 10, I think, right now through this year, which is just insane when you think about it. With the things that you mentioned, speaking on the offense and Giannis, this offense is the second rated offensive rating in the league, so it's pretty high powered. What can Memphis do to slow down this offense, if at all?
You know what? I actually love what Memphis is doing defensively under JB Bickerstaff. They actually have the fourth best defensive rating in basketball. They just have a bunch of defensive scrappers that can get at it. Mike Conley has given the Bucks problems over the last few years, so has Marc Gasol. Although losing Dylan Brooks, who did do a very good job on Giannis defensively last season, that'll definitely hurt the Grizzlies a little bit. But I think how the Grizzlies can really minimize the Bucks offensively is if they shut them down in the paint. The Bucks score the third most points in the paint in the NBA, whereas you look at the Grizzlies defensively, they gave up the third fewest. And we all know the Bucks are going to rain hellfire from three, and regardless of the score, they're just going to keep shooting threes. But if you can minimize their effectiveness in the paint and really make them make the three ball, I think that could definitely play in Memphis's favor defensively tomorrow.
Yeah, like you mentioned the Grizzlies being fourth best in defensive rating, and the Bucks are any slouch on the defensive end. They are the third best defense in the league. So we could potentially see a matchup tomorrow for the Grizzlies Bucks game that is a very low scoring affair if the Grizzlies can stop their offense and, like you said, like you mentioned, slow down the points in the paint. But speaking of the Bucks defense, what makes them so good defensively?
Well, this might sound contradictory, but what makes the Bucks so good defensively is they're giving up a lot of mid-range shots. And when you look at it, mid-range jumpers are the least efficient shot a player can take. So the Bucks will absolutely live with the Grizzlies or any other opponents they're playing. They'll absolutely live with players shooting off-balance mid-range jumpers or floaters. In order to protect the three-point line, the Bucks are allowing opponents to shoot 34.9% from three this season, which, you know, isn't great. I think it ranks 13th in the NBA, but it's pretty solid. And Milwaukee also does a good job at defending the corner three-point shot, which is very important. But I think the underlying cause of Milwaukee's success defensively is their ability to control the glass and limiting teams to one possession. They grabbed the second most rebounds in the NBA, and that's definitely a reason why they're so successful. Whereas last year, they ranked towards the bottom in the NBA in terms of rebounding, so they were just getting abused on second chance points. And it's really hard to win games when you're giving teams so many extra possessions per game.
Speaking with Andrew Goodman of BrewHoop.com, make sure you guys go check out his work at BrewHoop.com and follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Goodman. You're talking about them being one of the best rebounding teams in the league. Well, I hate to tell the Grizzlies fans, but they're in the top five in league, the top five in the league in points per game, rebounds, assists, blocks, field goal percentage, three-pointers made, three-point percentage, offensive rating, defensive rating. So what I'm trying to say is the Bucks this year, they're a really good team. It is really no ands, ands, or buts about it. But what are the weaknesses of this team that the Grizzlies can exploit, if there are any at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I think offensively the Grizzlies could exploit the Bucks because aside from Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's your only guy that can get good looks for his teammates and for himself. Chris Middleton is having an all-star season. He's been great for the Bucks this season. And if you give him the ball, he'll get you a bucket. But unless he's going supernova like he did against Boston in the playoff series last year, you know, it makes things difficult for the Bucks because they don't really have a second option that can get good looks for himself and for teammates. So when Giannis is on the bench, you know, you're going to have guys in there that they play good team basketball, but when it comes to creating individually, not so great, where Giannis obviously excels in that category.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, what is the typical starting lineup for the Bucks?
Okay, so you'll have Eric Bledsoe at the one, and then you'll have Malcolm Brogdon at the two, followed by Chris Middleton, Giannis at the four, and then Brook Lopez at the five. So you look at that and you say the Bucks have two point guards in the starting lineup. So whenever Eric Bledsoe goes to the bench, then you'll have Malcolm Brogdon running the offense, and then Pat Connaughton will usually fill in at the two or the three.
And speaking of, this is the last question for you, Andrew, but the Grizzlies fans would be remiss if I didn't ask about what do you think the chances of Jaren Jackson Jr., our rookie this year, the top four pick in the NBA draft, what are the chances do you think of him being able to stay with Giannis on the defensive end?
You know what? I actually love what Jaren Jackson Jr. has brought to the Grizzlies and to the NBA this season. He's a very young, entertaining guy to watch. Love what he brings offensively and defensively. He's just a long, freakish athlete, and I think he has a very bright future in the NBA. But you know what? I think he's going to do the best that he can to stay with Giannis tomorrow, but you know, there aren't too many people that can say that they've successfully defended Giannis. So I think tomorrow could be a welcome to the NBA moment for Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, there's not too many people that can say them. So it's not a bad thing to say you couldn't do it, because there aren't many that can. But anyway, Andrew, exactly. I appreciate you joining me again. That's Andrew from BrewHoop.com. Andrew Goodman of BrewHoop.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Goodman3. Man, I appreciate you joining me and taking the time out.
Of course. Thank you for reaching out, and good luck tomorrow, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks again to Andrew Goodman of BrewHoop.com. Again, follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Goodman3. Great writer over there. He's got some great stuff. Really smart guy. So I appreciate him taking the time out to join me on the podcast. I appreciate him and all of the things he had to say. Just a really, really good conversation. going to be a tough test for the Grizzlies to even really match up with that Bucks team. It's a really good team. Again, like I mentioned, they're top in the league in points per game, rebounds, assists, blocks, field goal percentage, three-pointers made, three-point percentage, offensive rating, defensive rating. They're one of the top teams in the league in net rating, which is basically the plus or minus from your offensive and defensive rating. I think they're like plus 12 or something like that, just something crazy. I mean, they're doing a lot of good stuff over there. So it'll be interesting to see how the Grizzlies stack up tonight against the Bucks, and I don't expect them to win this game. But as we all know, the Grizzlies play to their competition, so they could, you know, could make this game. You know, it could be a situation like in Golden State, where they made the first half a game and the second half wasn't much of a game. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what the Grizzlies are able to do on offense against a really good defensive team. So I wouldn't get your hopes up, because this is a good Bucks team, but you never know with the Grizzlies. But coming up on tomorrow's show, we're going to introduce our Thursday segment and the middle segment of the show, which is going to be a rookie update, similar to today's show, where we took a look at the Grizzlies' stats among the league. This is going to be just checking in on Jaren Jackson Jr. Well, and Jevin Carter, if he ever gets in the game and starts to play. We'll check in on his stats too and see how he stacks up against other rookies throughout the league. But mainly right now, we'll be looking at Jaren Jackson Jr. every Thursday, middle segment. We'll be seeing how he's dominating other rookies in the league, or where he has to improve upon in the other areas of his game. So great show today. Again, please make sure you subscribe and download and hit me up on Twitter at King_producer. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. If you have a comment, please send it to me, good or bad, whether you like the show, whether you hate the show. If you have a comment, want to email it to me, you can email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. I'm Mark King. Find me online again at King_producer. If you'd like to be a featured sponsor on the show, please email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or online at lockedongrizzlies.com.